I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The playmaker, Michael Irvin, getting set to join us here on the buyersafety.com hotline. Mike Fisher in for Choppy. Sean and RJ, 1 hour to go. Man, we got a lot of stuff for Mickey Spagnuolo. Does he agree with Jerry and Fish that Jason Garrett would be highly sought after if he was available? And what does he think about KT and Kavanaugh's suggestion that Dak Prescott go rogue with the Cowboys offense? And if the defenses line up in a look where he shouldn't be running it with six blockers versus seven defenders, just audible out of it. Just get out of the play. And then that branched off into an offensive knowledge debate of whether you would trust Dak Prescott's football intelligence on the field more than Jason Garrett suggesting plays, or John Kitna, or Kellen Moore.
I just can't believe that the dislike for Garrett among the Cowboy fan base, which I understand, spider webs its way so extensively that now you think he doesn't understand offensive football, as well as a 26-year-old quarterback who was a fourth-round pick who played at Mississippi State.
Well, this is where you know, I take experience very seriously.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go through the grind.
Right.
You got to pay your dues. You got to put in reps. You know, it really irritates me when, you know, you get anyone in any business. I'm just not just talking about radio or broadcasting where they're just owed. You know, that's a millennial knock. Like, I came out of college and give me the six-figure salary.
Right.
And I related that to Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore can be obsessed and think maybe he was put on this earth to call plays. That's what all the articles and all the comments have been.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. And maybe he has diehard work ethic and dedication. He's still going to have to learn from experience. He's still going to have to take his bumps. He's still going to have to take his bruises. He's still going to, Kellen Moore in 10 years will look back and say, these were like the five biggest mistakes I made my first year calling plays. Unfortunately for Jason Garrett, that's taking place in Jason's make or break year, which could lead to a lot of the theories about interference and Jason stepping on Kellen's toes and all that. But I'm seeing more and more people say that it's Kellen Moore's show.
Like, and it's Kellen Moore calling the plays on a playbook that he designed largely under Garrett's supervision.
Yes.
It's the same as, listen, they don't blitz on defense. And Garrett goes, hey, why? What are we doing? Why are we blitzing? I didn't know we were going to do that. That's not how it works. At the same time, and we all tend to do this, we think all of a sudden that Scott Linehan is dumb. Scott Linehan was once a boy genius when he was a boy.
Yeah.
When he was the same age as Kellen Moore, he was Kellen Moore. And then all of a sudden he got dumb. How many dumb NFL head coaches are there really? Like dumb guys. How many have there ever been?
Not a lot.
Not very many.
Yeah.
Not very many.
Jason Garrett went to the grocery store and got sirloin and green peppers and rice and garlic.
Okay.
And said, Kellen, you cook something out of this. You and make the meal, but these are the ingredients.
Okay, and then Kellen said, well, I'd like to add some ice cream and some peppers. And then Kitna came in and said,
that's two types of peppers because I already had green peppers.
Then Kitna says, I know how to cut the peppers. And then Dak comes in and says, and I know how to put butter on the rice. And that's the collaborative effort. But to think that
we wanted Kellen Moore to do everything start to finish.
He's 30.
That was the hope in Cowboy land.
He was 30 years old when he took this job with 1 year of experience as a coach, which, by the way, makes him 5 years ahead of Dak Prescott. So Dak Prescott should call his own plays. Dak Prescott should go rogue. Dak Prescott should be just like Tony Romo. Tony Romo, who did what? Ran his own offense? Independent of the coaching staff? I would beg to differ. that Tony Romo went rogue all the time and did whatever he wanted to. And by the way, and I understand that in real context, KT and Jeff Kavanaugh aren't saying that. But why doesn't Jeff Heath just go rogue? Just do whatever you want. Why doesn't Tank Lawrence just go rogue? Hey, listen, I know that the play calls for me to do this, but I really think I should do that. If you get 22 guys doing that, you know what your record's going to be? Really? 0-16. For real.
We also have to ask Mickey about Broadus telling G-Bag that he thinks that the Cowboys could be without both tackles again against Filthy. No Tyron and no Lael again. That was what Broadus said yesterday to G-Bag. Also, Tyrone Crawford is gone for the rest of the season. What will that mean for Tristan Hill? Trent Williams, yesterday a rumor came out from a Browns reporter that the Browns were going to acquire Trent Williams and trade for him, but the Washington Post says the Redskins are denying that emphatically. And we have to ask Mickey if he would have, I already know the answer, if he would have traded two firsts and a fourth for Jalen Ramsey, because the Rams are like, screw it, I'm going all in. And a question I have for the Tolos, are you more or less likely to do the Ramsey deal based on what the Cowboys are now?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're 5-1, do you say, we don't need him? Why are we going to commit money to another salary? Why are we going to give up that equity in draft picks when we're already 5-1? Or now you're like, no way I would do it because I don't even know the Cowboys are making the playoffs.
It's interesting that the Cowboys were 3-4 last year when they, quote, did it.
Three and four
when they got Amari Cooper. I mean, they shot their shot when there was no sign that their shot was going to fix anything, and yet it fixed everything. So they do now have a recent track record of saying, well, it was worth it that one time. Of course, that was one first-round pick. That wasn't two first-round picks. That was an Amari Cooper who's going to end up costing $20 million. This is a cornerback who, when it's his turn, or before when it's his turn, Jalen Ramsey's going to tell the Rams, I want everything. And it's going to create another headache from. Sean, you know what? If the Rams go to the NFC Championship game, can we then say, oh, okay, Jalen Ramsey helped him get there. That was worth it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Worth it? You got to ask where you are in 4 years as well.
Okay, but like you remember the Saints, how like the Saints were in cap hell. Remember that? After the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
But they won the Super Bowl.
Let's bring in the playmaker, Michael Irvin, on Sean and RJ. I think calling in from London on the buyersafety.com hotline. On the line, radio.com, sports NFL insider Michael Irvin. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. Michael, are you still in London?
No, God, no. I'm back. But I still feel like I'm in London. I'm back. You know, London's, you know, 6 hours ahead of Dallas and everything. So my timing is off. And I get my granddaughter yesterday, and she's at 1.5. She's at the thing where she fights sleep all day. And I'm like, oh, baby, can you not fight sleep tonight? Can we please try to get some sleep tonight? So I'm holding her up all day. I was like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted. But I'm good. I'm back. I go back to London in about another week and a half to do that Jags Texans game. But yeah, I came back home. I got to come back and work and then go back again.
How recognized are you in London compared to here?
Now listen, you know, of course it's not America. That's good and bad. You know, but there's a lot of fans over there that are huge football fans, and the one thing is they want to show you that they really know NFL football. So when you run into London fans over there, they'll stop you right away, and they want to have a conversation. Yo, mate, yeah, we love this, mate. We love, you know, here people see who you are. They'll know it. They know you love football. They don't. They know you know they love football. So they don't come up on you as much. But over there, oh, my God, all they want to do is talk football. And I love it. It really is. It really is a great trip to take.
All right, Mike, we have Mike Fisher in for a sick choppy today.
Hey.
And we're freaking out. The Cowboys were Super Bowl contenders. Now they're not going to make the playoffs. Jason Garrett's definitely gone. Where is Michael Irvin's panic level on his beloved Cowboys?
as high as anyone else's panic level. What do we? Here's what I've been saying. You know, and I just got off the radio with people in Philadelphia, and they're trying to trap me in a corner and say this, say that. The truth of the matter is, guys. Well, we're hurting right now. We're hurting in the worst places, and you see it. Any good coach is going to be able to attack our weaknesses. In a lot of areas, you would like to think that you could try to hide some weaknesses. First of all, Philly had no answer for Amari Cooper last year. And now Amari Cooper, more likely, is not going to be playing. We're missing both tackles. You saw what the Jets did. The Jets lined up. Greg Williams lined up those defensive linemen. He covered the guard and the center, both guards in the center, kind of like a bare front. I mean, he isolated both tackles. He's like, no. We're not letting you help those guys. We're going to isolate those guys and attack through that. It really was an incredible game plan, and I'm expecting to see a lot of more people that looked at that film try the same thing. So some of these guys, these next-up guys, they got to step up and play up, because they will get isolated.
Michael, how much of this is execution? You just addressed a little of that. How much of it is, okay, well, let's do this game plan-wise, and how much of it is your area of expertise, among other things, inspiration? Is there some magic button that somebody can push to ignite this thing?
Mike, that's a great question, man, because honestly, when you're looking at it, you know, I'm so fired up watching the game, that Jet game. You know, after we did that game in London, you know, we always go out on a team dinner. You know, Rich, Coach, Kurt, myself, our wives, we always go out to this big team dinner. So the dinner was at 8:30 last Sunday, 8:30. The Cowboys come on at 9:25. And I said to them then, I said, listen, man, I'm going to come because we that's what we do every year. But I'm going to be with you guys for 55 minutes. That's what we got. We got 55 minutes. I got to go and watch that Cowboy game by myself. Of course, they're talking to him and they're humming, oh, man, you can't leave, man. Come on, just watch the game. And I'm thinking, this is the Jets. I can stay for the first quarter. I get a little bragging in. We're about to run over the Jets and get back on track. Man, that thing just went down and scored. And you know, we got stopped. We didn't go get a touchdown. Then we get stopped on the goal. And this is the last straw. I'm sitting there. I'm watching on my iPad. Everybody's watching on my iPad. Rich has this app on his phone, so he's kind of a play ahead of us. And I when this thing started, I'm like, I got to go, man. This is just not – guys, I appreciate it, but I got to go. Rich said, no, just stay one more play. That's when they stopped us. And then the next play, they went 92 yards. Rich already knew they went 92 yards. I'm looking at the iPad. When they hit the 92 yards, I stood up, grabbed all my stuff. I said, I'm getting the hell out of here. This ain't working right. Walked out. They didn't even give her the money for the bill. Just walked out on them. I did not want to be in that presence. Man, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm so concerned about this game. I'm so concerned. And Mike, to answer your question, all of it plays a role. Because sometimes, I like to think sometimes, okay, maybe you're under man, but your man, the man in you, is going to rise up and say, not on this day, not in my house. Not on this day, not in my house, and make some plays. You remember last year when Tyron was out, and the guy from Atlanta had all those sacks.
Oh, yeah.
From Atlanta. You remember, and we had a discussion on air saying Jason
Claiborne, Claiborne.
That had all the sacks, right? He said we should have had some. Coach Garrett should have given help. I was like, I don't want to hear that. He has the block for 3 damn seconds. Where is the man in him that says, you know what, dude? You ain't getting by me for 3 seconds. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Why can't you just do that? Where is the man in you that will rise you above your ability? stop telling me about what you have shoulders down. Tell me about what you have dead center right in your chest and what you have shoulders up in your head. And just make yourself man up and play ball. And I'm hoping that that's what they do this week, because where we're hurting, it's bad. We're hurting in bad places.
Michael Irvin here on the home of the Cowboys. What blame does Jason Garrett deserve right now?
Man, I hear you guys all the time. I mean, that target on Coach Garrett's back. Boy, that's a big old target. You get people shooting arrows and hitting bullseye off. They shoot blindly. Boop. Just hit a bullseye because the target is so big on Coach Garrett. You know, we came into this year, everybody feeling like this was the year. This is it. We got the talent. The team has what it needs and has what it needs in every position. And the depth, we thought, real great of the depth. And it started out great. And, oh, my God, we put Kellen Moore in heaven, in genius heaven. And now that is not going well. We put Coach Garrett in hell. You know what I mean? And get rid of him, hell. So I think that level of blame goes to everybody. Of course, it's Coach Garrett because he's the head coach, and his job is to get people mentally ready, physically ready to play. But on each level, each coach has a responsibility to get his crew ready. And honestly, we're just not getting it done right now.
Okay, and Michael Irvin here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm with you. You and I share. You have a relationship with Jason Garrett.
Yes. Listen, make no mistake about it. I love Coach Garrett.
I have a relationship with Jason Garrett.
I love his
family. Right, but this is separate from that.
Mike, you got to break that down to me like that. Like, come on, man.
Well, I want the listener to understand, because a lot of times a guy in your position or even in my position will defend Jason Garrett because we like him. And liking him is not good enough anymore.
No, right. You're right. But liking him, that's one thing. But being honest is another.
Yeah.
Being honest is another. Now, Coach Garrett, the head coach in the Buck, always stops with the head coach. But Coach Garrett didn't call in these plays. And for the first 3 weeks, you gave him no credit. Now you want to give him all blame. I'm saying, you know, let's ride this somewhere in the middle. You can give Coach Garrett 65% of the blame if that's what you want to do. But don't leave the 35% out. Give it to somebody else. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't just say it's all Coach Garrett right now when it was going great. You said it had nothing to do with Coach Garrett. That's all I'm saying.
Mike, I want to know, you and I were the only people that were initially skeptical of Kellen Moore. You know, no matter how gifted you are, experience does matter. What happened to the offense dropping? I know it was against, you know, some worse teams, but didn't they look more wide open, aggressive, throwing deep play action while dropping 30 in the first 3 weeks? And then what happened? They had Tyron and Lael against the Saints and the Packers. What has changed with the offensive look?
Yeah, you know, let me break this down, because I thought when I saw that Saints game, we every year we're on the show, we're asked where's the toughest place to play. By far, I don't care what anybody said. Philadelphia, Kansas City. No, it's the New Orleans Saints. You burn that dome, that's a different type of thing. So I kind of gave them a pass just on because they, first of all, New Orleans beat our strength. They beat us in the offensive line.
Yeah.
And you know the jump. You know, I always say your tackle man weakness if you want to beat them, your tackle strength if you want to break them. And I was probably trying to give us an excuse instead of being broken, like, oh, no, they beat our strength. They beat our strength because of the dome, and I do believe that has something to do with it. So I kind of gave a pass for that. But I thought we would do better and play better in that Packers game. And I damn sure thought we would beat down the Jets. I was on the radio in New York saying, listen, I know things aren't going well, but this is just what the doctor ordered. Whenever anything's not going right, or doctor tell you, get two Jets, take them, and call me in the morning, you'll be fine. But that's all you need. and those guys must have heard me on the radio up there, because they came out and said, "Oh, so we the aspirin, huh? We fix whatever ails you." And they came out and played, and that concerns me. That one concerns me more than anything, Mike, because what you just talked about, if you can't raise your man to come up and beat a team that has no wins, then how can I even expect you to raise your man to come up and beat a team like the Eagles? That concerns me.
Mike, last thing. Last year, you're the one who put Amari on the Cowboys. You called for the trade before anyone. When you saw Jalen Ramsey dealt to the Rams, did you say, "Dang, I wish we would have done that"? Or is there any other move out there you think they should make?
Well, we didn't have the stock, the draft capital to go and get him. But if you ask me, do I think he's worth two first rounders? Absolutely. Think about this, man. I tell people jokingly, even though I'm joking, I'm not lying, that the reality is we talk shutdown corners so easily in this league now. We saw, and really, the shutdown corners get shut down by their own team in this league. I ain't never seen anything like this. You know, last year, remember, the Redskins shut down Josh Norman. This year, the Jets shut down Tremaine Johnson. I mean, these are supposed to be shutdown corners that are getting shut down from their own team. I went up against shutdown corners. Darryl Green, Rod Woodson, Deion Sanders, Aeneas Williams. I said I went through gold jackets to get my gold rings, and they were real gold jacket guys, real shutdown corners. Jalen Ramsey, he's one of the only ones really left in this league. He's a true, true shutdown corner. Do I think he's worth that draft capital? Absolutely. You give me this proven shutdown corner, I'll take him over two unproven picks that we don't even know what they are going to be any day. I wish we could have gotten Jalen Ramsey. I honestly don't see any trade out there now that will get us over the top, because we're not right now. What we're hurting, really, you know, Mari, he'll get back. You know, you don't find, unless you want to go pick up Antonio Brown until he gets back. What do you guys thought on that?
No.
I'm not going to lie. Desperation makes you start thinking about a lot of things. we ain't got no time to be sitting here riding the high horse like we too good for this and we too good for that. We need some H-E-L-P right now, some real help. I don't care where we find help. I don't care what kind of media relations coming with it, a public relations nightmare coming with it, or wind can cure some of those things. I don't care what we say. I have absolutely, maybe we should go pick them up for a week or two. I don't know what to do here, but I'm telling you, I am worried about this game right now. And Philly's hurting too, but Philly's not hurting in the key spot like we're hurting in. And just as much as you're taking away from Jason Garrett and all, if he can find a way to win this game, you got to give them some credit, because I'm telling you guys, where we're hurting, and we're hurting in bad spots.
Michael, thank you so much. You're the man. Appreciate it.
Guys, always good talking to you, man. Mike, doing a great job stepping in for RJ, man. They traded one of my buddies and grabbed another. I didn't take that, buddy.
Well, he's got some pretty tiny shoes to fill, I'll tell you that.
Thank you, Mike.
You know what they say?
Yeah, I do.
Tiny hand, tiny feet.
That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Little pickers.
The app. Stop, DeMarcus. Are they going to be missing Leao and Tyron against Philly? The latest injury update from Mickey Spagnuolo. And does Mickey agree with Jerry that Garrett would be sought after if unemployed? Next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Been a pretty loaded show, not just because Mike Fisher's here, alcohol reference. Fish in for Choppy, Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station. Crosstalk with Ben and Skin at 9:40. The advice for Dak Prescott to ignore the coaching staff. We'll go through that at 9:40 with KT and Kavanaugh on their 105ThroughTheFan.com video. Fanniversary tickets for October 26th. You don't need tickets. It's free entry. Texas Live, October 26th, to celebrate our 10 years of turning it on, leaving it on, with Charles Haley and Jalen Smith and Chris Woodward, the Cup champions from the Stars, Cowboy cheerleaders, October 26th, Texas Live. Make sure to come and join us. Mickey Spagnola joining us now, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, Mickey.
How come I got to follow Michael Irvin?
No doubt.
Man, I'm sitting here in the commercial break banging my head. I'm like, we should have asked two more questions.
Yeah.
Should have asked
you should have just kept him for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Blow off the brakes,
Blow
right?
off the blade.
You mean, Mick, you mean you can't off the top of your head just say, you attack a man's weakness if you want to beat him. You attack his strength if you want to break him. You can't just come up with that off the top of your head, huh?
No, but I could have come up with it because I've heard it before from him. Can't you just stand in front of a man for 3 seconds?
Yeah, that's,
you don't even have to move. Just stand in front of him.
That started a fight last year at the NFL. At the NFL Network, he said that, and like offensive linemen got kind of offended and kind of ticked off.
But you know what? There's kind of a little bit of truth to it, too.
Mm.
Right?
Here's how much truth. Here's the truth for Irvin. Could Michael Irvin, as a 212-pound wide receiver, have stood in front And his answer is yes, right?
Oh,
Nick?
He could have, but he wouldn't want to.
No, he wouldn't want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no, I ain't doing that job. That's Tuanay's job, right?
Mickey Broadus said yesterday he thinks both tackles could again be missing for the Eagles and Tyron and Lael. Do you have that feeling?
I have the feeling that Lael will be missing for sure. I think we have to wait and see on Tyron, but it could be possible. I mean, he worked out before the game on Sunday, and it didn't look all that great. So I don't know how much more time he needs. You know, in 5 days, is he going to be ready to go? I'm sure they'd put him out there without practicing if he could go on Sunday night. But, yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility. And, you know, that's the worst part of all of this, I think. All the injuries, everything that's going on, just not having both offensive tackles. And it's not just that you're missing them, because other people have injuries, but I think it's what you have behind them that take their spot that concerns you most of all. Now, those guys weren't awful, right, the entire game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're only doing well 40% of the time, you know, that messes up the offense. And you don't have time to get the ball down the field. Everybody's talking about, oh, what happened? They're not throwing the ball down the field. Well, if you don't have time to stand in the pocket to throw a 50-yard pass for a 92-yard completion for a touchdown, you know, you can't do it. You got to have time. And I think their concern to me going into the game was reflective in how they ran the offense. So much too tight end. Didn't take a lot of deep shots because they didn't think that they could protect long enough to be able to do that.
Do you agree with Jerry that Jason Garrett would be highly sought after if available by the rest of the league?
Well, let me answer that this way. Who's the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals?
Zach Taylor.
Okay. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Doug Marrone.
All right, Miami?
That would
Brian
be
Flores.
Brian Flores,
Flores,
right?
Yes.
Okay, seriously? And by the way, who's the head coach of the Washington Redskins?
Bill Callahan.
Yeah, interim, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be delicious? Somebody would hire him. I guarantee. Look at what's coaching out there. Mike Vrabel's the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Mm. Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, and Freddie. Oh, I should have started there.
But Mick, I hope you agree with me that you're not saying those guys are terrible coaches. You're saying they've accomplished nothing.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the caliber of people that are head coaches in the NFL
right
now.
Right.
Right. And what have they done? You know.
You
have
Fish agreeing twice in the same week.
I'm yeah. This is I don't know.
Down
yeah.
here.
Watch out, lightning's coming.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, head coaching, there's a lot more to it, right, than just getting blamed for losing on Sunday. You sort of have a hand in putting the team together, right? If you're going to be the head coach.
No doubt.
And Jason's done a wonderful job if you look at where this team was to where it is now from a talent standpoint. And the head coach does have a hand in that. And he's had a bigger hand in it than I think people understand because he, with his background and how he was raised, he understands the draft and he understands personnel. And look at the personnel on this team. Now, there's reasons. We can go and pick out things that have come up here and why they're where they are right now. And I agree with Michael. You know, no one give him any credit for 3-0, but they sure give him credit for 0-3, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't have it both ways. And I just think, I mean, I understand the fan base and I understand fans. You overreact. And either way, and there's no middle ground to any of this stuff, and that's what's going on right now. So I think it's our job to educate them, right?
Hey, we won't have Mike on tomorrow. We'll have more time tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Mickey Spagnola brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. You and Mickey on the same page.
How about that?
Garrett being sought after by other teams. When we come back, this is going to be fun. The Dak should rebel debate. The answer to the Cowboys offense, crosstalk with Ben and Skin. And did any of the guys want to trade all those picks for Jalen Ramsey like the Rams just did? A very good crosstalk, I believe, coming up after this. Fisher in for Choppy for crosstalk. It's KT Skin and Ben Rogers on 105.3 The Fan.
Woo!
Good morning, boys.
Hump day!
Hump day.
What's or as they say in Philadelphia, hey, KT!
Happy day!
Yeah, how was that?
What in the world was that?
Philly radio appearance.
Those are my guys.
You guys know the history of this?
No.
So they truly do love KT.
Oh, they love him, man.
They love him.
You can't hate it because it's got to be fun for you. I mean, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't want to go on the show
some respect?
Like that?
It's only probably didn't have that many years left either. And I'm sure he makes good money.
Hey. And KT is killing it on that show. He's doing a fantastic job.
Hi, KT.
Hold on, Angelo.
Hi, KT.
He's a giant sweaty dill pickle. But the reason that this ended up happening is Ben and I had him on the show, and he begged for mercy, and we just cut him off and kicked him off the show halfway through the segment.
It was terrible. It was like we couldn't even speak on our own show. Like you, sometimes
I won't interrupt you.
Sometimes you have somebody on the air, and you have to look in at whoever's working the board and go, dude, you got to pot them down. Why are you allowing them to talk over us on our show? And we couldn't even speak.
Yeah, we can't do crosstalk with them like we do every city. We can't do it because his bit is, I'm just going to talk over and yell at Dallas for the Philly fans to love him more.
Yeah. He's garbage. He's straight garbage, dude. He's terrible.
The whole station is garbage. It's him. It's his listeners.
Participation trophy.
Participation trophy.
This is, I don't know if you have it in there, but we have this really great drop from their station where a guy goes, how dare them insult our ethnicity.
That's us.
Wait, that was with you guys?
Yeah. That was the caller, Darren.
We were doing
yes.
crosstalk,
oh
and we
God.
Were we were like, you're a big meatball. You sound like a meatball. And he turned it in like insulting his dead grandmother, who's
right.
Italian.
Okay.
Today, he started attacking midgets, which you can't do.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Can't say the word.
Angelo,
say that.
I am
anymore.
Quoting him.
Okay, that's fair. But in
you're
fairness.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
But in fairness, KT has rocked out the platform. I mean, and he is their—he's their prodigal son in a lot of ways.
See, this is the whole thing. What you do? This is a very simple thing. It's you've seen the thing where you get close to your enemies, right?
Yes.
Get close to your enemies. So I'm finding secrets, guys. I know Doug Peterson's game plan this week.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
It's good.
What's coming up on the
go
show?
Go for it on fourth down.
It's to win, I believe.
Yeah, Doug thinks he's going to win.
Yeah.
He might.
KT actually, slept with the enemy, and we'll find out how that went for him. We'll get into that at 11 o'clock. Man, we've got a war hero joining us in studio today. This is a tremendous honor. John Wayne Walding is joining us. He's been on the show before. This guy is named after John Wayne and born on the 4th of July.
Wow.
Former Green Beret, or Green Beret. I'm not sure. I never know when it's former or not former. He is a complete stud. 12 years in the U.S. Army. 7 in the prestigious 3rd Special Forces Group. He's been to both Iraq, Afghanistan during the Battle of Shock Valley. He lost his right leg to sniper fire. This is the guy who got shot in the shin. And so he kept dragging his body. And every time his foot that was barely hanging on by a thread hit a rock, he said it felt like he got shot all over again.
Oh.
Meanwhile, still taking on heavy fire from the enemy. So he took his belt off. He folded his leg up backwards, tied it off with his belt, continued to fight for two or three more hours. He's a true hero. And there's a lot of military charities. I'm not naming names, but there's some military charities out there that if you talk to people that are actually in the military, they're like, man, that's not a good one. I don't trust where everything goes with that one or that one. And so they just wanted somebody who knows to step up and make a difference, and that's what he's doing. So he's got a new water called Live to Give. Half the proceeds of each bottle of water you purchase, and you can buy it on Amazon, go to military charities that they've personally vetted and feel comfortable with. So he's going to come talk to us about that and a lot more.
Awesome. Kev, we got to thank you for a topic you gave us today.
What'd I do?
Well, maybe it was Kavanaugh, but you were in the video. 105throughthefan.com.
Kavanaugh.
Where Kavanaugh, Dak going
rouge.
Rouge.
Yeah.
Dak going rogue. Can you explain the concept?
Well, I think that's a good color of lipstick for him. A good shade for him.
Is that Troy or Angelo?
That's Angelo.
He loves KT's humor.
So this is Jeff's idea, because when Jeff and I are about to do a video every Tuesday, we recorded around 1:40. We look at each other, because we really don't speak much. We look at each other and go, what are you going to do today? All right, cool. So he went with it, and I agree about 75% of what he said. There's a part of me that says, I don't think Dak needs to fully go rogue. But if Dak's seeing things on the field, it should be time that he has a little freedom to make a move. Not to the extent that Romo had in whatever year, what was it 2013 or 2012 when Romo started doing that? I don't think he's at that level ready to go that. I mean, Dak still has trouble sometimes reading man and zone coverage. I mean, so he's not there yet. But, you know, if he sees things, he should be able to do his own thing and not be questioned about it. And maybe
like
he's
give
just,
us an example.
I mean, I think the toss play is the best example, right? The third and 11.
But he have a run? Doesn't he get a run pass option?
I mean, it can be little things like this, though. To me, the 2-point conversion play, if you're not feeling it and you know the pressure's coming and you knew, you got a couple timeouts, take a timeout.
Especially since we've already mismanaged the timeouts at that point. Yeah. There's no sense in not using it there.
Yeah. So, I think Dak can have more on his plate.
But I guess my question is on the third and 11. Did he have a run pass option? And if he decided to carry through with the toss, because they tell us he gets a run pass option. I don't know if it's for every play.
Yeah.
And if he carries through with the toss for 4 yards, punt, is that Dak's fault for not picking the pass?
No, because that if you, and this is Greg Williams 101, if it's third and 6, he's sending everybody. So Dak is sitting there going, I'm not picking. This is the same reason that when teams have third and 18, and they're inside their own territory, everyone yells when they throw a screen pass. The reason they do it is because the likelihood is probably the same that you're going to have something catastrophic happen, then you're going to pick up 18 yards. So as Dak looks at the line, and Greg Williams is actually on the field as well, ready to rush him, he ain't picking up 11 yards, boys. So he's going, you know, the best chance we have is if I quickly get this ball to Zeke and he breaks a tackle. Otherwise, you know, I'm probably going to take a sack, be further back. I might fumble, throw a pick. That is a safe play. It's not what people want. But, dude, you're not picking up third and 11 on Greg Williams unless someone misses an assignment.
The hammer was a perfect storm for the Cowboys. Greg Williams.
The hammer. That's right.
They were a perfect storm with a team without their two tackles, a team that blitzes a lot. You know who else has got a perfect storm? It's a team that's having trouble getting pressure on the quarterback, but Jim Schwartz. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to blitz their ass off if Tyron and Lyle don't play.
And by the way, you were talking about Romo and what Romo did back in the day. It was 11, 12, 2013. It was Garrett, right? And then it just wasn't working anymore. And they basically, Jerry was frustrated with Garrett. He was too conservative. Romo was frustrated with Garrett, too conservative. They started going through all these changes. Well, early, I guess it was the next season where Callahan is, and he's only here for one season, right?
He was here for two, but he became offensive coordinator for one, if I
so
remember correctly.
So Callahan, at some point, 4 or 5 games in that season, that's when Romo went rogue. Romo's like, good God, this sucks. And it went straight playground style. Just, hey, your play call is duly advised. But that was deep into his career.
Yeah. You know, that's you ready to give Dak that responsibility?
That's 2014, yes. Right? 2014. 2013, 2014.
And
I think experience matters in the NFL. Dak's nowhere near being to the point where he can do that and just go rogue. Nowhere near.
I think he's a hell of a lot closer to it, and I think this is the point of the article that KT wrote this offseason. And that was the point where, like, I mean, dude, there was a lot of conversation on this station about Russell Wilson being trash. And the whole point is that you don't judge a guy in the first 2 years. But what I would argue about y'all's conversation, which was badass, is when Romo, quote-unquote, went rogue, he was not more qualified than Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan had been in the league way longer and had seen way more. But Romo, at that point, was qualified to do it. And at this point, I would argue that after 48 regular season starts and 3 playoff starts, Dak has seen a lot. Now, is he going to be always on point? And I don't think he should just quote-unquote, all right, I'm ignoring everything you guys are doing and I'm just going to do my stuff. But he's at a point in his career. Ben brought this up. He was upset with the way the game plan had gone in the Rams playoff game. Ben had a source tell him that. Well, he's at the point now, dude, you're in a playoff game. We've given you the ball for 3 straight years. That is longer than most NFL careers. So is he going to be more qualified in 3 years? Yeah, duh. All these guys are. But he is to a point in his career where it's time to really take the reins of that because he's not a kid anymore. He's sitting here asking for top dollar.
Yeah.
Then he should be, with his experience and everything that he's been through, he's ready to do that sort of
stuff. But it's a ludicrous conversation. Drew Brees doesn't even do that in New Orleans.
Right.
Guys need their coaches.
Right.
The idea that, we're talking about the wrong thing here. All right, so it's a given that you have crap coaching. Here's what you got to do, Dak. Just to turn your head, turn the mic off in your helmet and go rogue.
Hey,
it's like, what the hell are we talking about here? If the coaching is bad, replace the coaching.
By the way, ask New Orleans people about how Drew Brees and Sean Payton used to butt heads all the time about the stuff that he would do out there on the field. It's not what Sean Payton wanted to do. They'll tell you.
Just let Kellen have the offense back, please.
Kellen does have the offense.
Did he ever have it?
So it's Garrett.
Who has it? What?
Kellen. But it's Garrett's scheme. That's what I'm saying. But people think Garrett's calling plays. Garrett's not calling plays.
No, he's not. He doesn't speak during games.
I refuse to believe that Kellen would
calling,
run the ball.
Kellen is calling plays. He's also, and that's the whole point, too. There's a run-pass option on damn near every play. So is Dak the guy we're saying go rogue? He's the one who's running into that? Kellen the one who's calling plays? He's the one who's calling a run play? I mean, it's like...
He's not calling the plays, but Jason, before a drive, is likely to say, like Belichick, hey, let's throw a little here. Let's run a little here. Let's attack this
Well, you ran the ball
corner.
80% of the time in the red zone. That's a fireable offense, just that. Just those numbers.
Do you think Jason...
You don't run the ball 80% of the time in the red zone. What are you doing?
Do you think Jason Garrett's calling the plays?
I think he's got a lot to do with the offense.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't think Kellen's calling plays, but I think Kellen is doing what he's told.
All right, let's let the boys take over. Good stuff coming up. Ben and Skin, enjoy the rest of your day. We're back tomorrow morning. Ben and Skin, next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.